Matthew chapter 18. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the middle of them, and said, Truly I tell you, unless you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. So I think that does mean that God does have relationship with little children. So never think that you're too young to do something for God. And he says that you've got to be converted. Well, the disciples could have turned around and said, but we're converted already. But he says you've got to be converted. So there's different levels of conversion. You may accept Jesus when you're really quite young. You may be baptized when you're really quite young. But then there's other steps up the ladder. And as you get older, you may come to a point where you feel that you've gone up yet another ladder, another step of the ladder. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever shall receive one such little child in my name receives me. But whoever shall cause one of these little ones to stumble, it were better for him that a millstone, that's what they, huge heavy stones they use to grind wheat and grain, it were better for him that a millstone were hung about his neck and that he were thrown into the very deep sea with a big splash. So, he's saying that the worst possible sin, as he sees it, is to make a little one to stumble. In other words, if you make somebody stop believing. And that is indeed a very big sin. So he's saying that you've therefore got to be really super sensitive to your brothers and sisters and to all those who believe. Woe unto the world because of stumbling blocks. And he means opportunities or situations that make other people stumble. It has to be that people stumble, but woe to the person who causes the other person to stumble. So if your hand or your foot cause you to stumble, cut them off, throw them away from you. It's better for you to enter into life limping or lacking a limb, rather than having two hands or two feet to be thrown into Gehenna, the everlasting fire. Well, by Gehenna, Jesus refers to the rubbish dump outside Jerusalem. And if you throw something, a bit of rubbish, onto a fire, it will burn and go back to dust. It was only called eternal because they kept on throwing rubbish, new rubbish, onto it, so the fire never went out. And that place, that valley, became a symbol of complete destruction. And so he's saying it's better by all means to have the strength to cut off your own hand or foot that might be making you stumble in the path to the kingdom. And then, all right, you, like Jacob, he went around limping after he'd wrestled with the angel. And go around limping like Jacob, rather than keeping all your stuff in this life only to be thrown away into condemnation. And if your eye makes you stumble, then pull it out. Throw it away from you. It's better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into Gehenna. Be so careful that you don't despise one of these little ones. So we're not to make the little ones stumble, and we're not to despise them. We're not to think that we're better in any sense. For I tell you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father who is in heaven. That rather implies to me that everybody, including children, have got a guardian angel who represents them in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray and got lost, doesn't he leave the 99 and go into the mountains and he seeks that which has gone astray? If he finds it, truly I tell you that he rejoices more about that sheep than about the 99 who didn't go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. So, if you make someone stumble, then I think the idea is that Jesus, as the Good Shepherd, is going to go out looking for them. You're putting him to a huge effort because of what you've done. He's very, very sensitive to this. So we must really not provoke each other and especially not do anything that will make someone stumble. And that's why it is so wrong to ever tell somebody that you're disfellowshipped or you not good enough to come and break bread and chase them away. This is what makes people stumble, and the people who do that really need to repent and get right with God before it's too late, because Jesus is very clear that he has a particular dislike of people who do that. So you must never ever tell people that they can't sit at the table of Jesus. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he shall hear you, you've gained your brother. Now he says, go and talk to him between you and him alone. And what's the natural temptation if we see our brother do something wrong? It's to go and talk to someone else about it. Did you know he did this? Did you know he did that? And yet Jesus says, go and talk to him about it alone. If he shall hear you, then you've won your brother. But if he won't listen to you, then take with you one or two more, so that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word can be established. And if he won't listen to them, then tell the church. And if he won't listen to them, then let him be unto you as a Gentile and a publican. That is like the people who are absolutely despised in society. And yet you notice that Jesus did break his bread with Gentiles and publicans. Truly I say to you, whatever you shall bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, what we just read there is about a matter of personal offence, of personal upset. It's not talking about if you disagree about a doctrine or whatever. It's talking about if your brother sins against you personally. And I do wonder whether Jesus is not being a little bit sarcastic in what he says, because he's going to go on to say, to tell Peter, to just forgive people when they sin against you, any without limit. So I think that what he says here, we have to take, in my opinion, he's saying, well, you could do this, and this is what the synagogue would do, but I'm going to tell you, if your brother sins against you, just forgive him. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother trespass against me and I forgive him? Seven times? See, Jesus had just said, if your brother sins against you, well, you can go and have it out with him. You can get two or three people to come with you. You can then after that get the church involved. And so Peter says, all right, well, I think I'm a bit more mature than that. If my brother sins against me, I'll forgive him. But how many times a day should I do this? Seven times? He was thinking he was so mature. And Jesus said to him, no, not seven times, but 70 times seven. In other words, he's saying, no, Peter, unlimited. And I think this is the idea, that we are to forgive people unconditionally without asking for their repentance, and you keep on and on doing that, which would mean that you don't put into practice this thing about, oh, get two or three people to come and rough the guy up and then you get the church involved and they kick him out. No. Clearly, Jesus is making a contrast between that and what he's really teaching, which is unlimited forgiveness to other people. We really must forgive. That this is absolutely critically important, and it really will affect our salvation.